This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Bum, 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 bum.
Now tell me what you gonna do,
but it ain't nowhere to run.
When judgment comes for you,
when judgment comes for you.
Tell me what you gonna do,
but it ain't nowhere to hide.
When judgment comes for you,
cause it's gonna come for you.
And welcome to Return the Mailman, episode 7. Why am I numbering them on air? That's ridiculous. But
because we hope to get to a landmark number.
Oh, a landmark number. Yeah, that's actually a good call there. Countdown to number 1 million.
Someday when we're old and gray. Episode 50,000 of Return the Mailman.
I can't wait. I'm Josh Richer, and with me, as always, is Jeff Machado, the mailman, because that's what he does for an occupation, and that's what we do around here. We name things after what we do. a big episode. I don't even want to like mention Breaking Bad yet. What we do here is we break down Breaking Bad currently. It's what we've been up to for the past technically 8 episodes, but last 7 weeks, right? 7 weeks?
7 weeks, yeah.
7 weeks. Yeah, 7 weeks, 6 episodes we've done. We break down Breaking Bad, go through the ins and outs, what happened, run through some news, and usually then we also, before and after, sprinkle in a little something else about other topics, whatever it may be. If it's TV, we'll let you know. If we're going to get in depth with it, you know, it might spoil something, we'll tune you in.
Yeah, we're pretty much pop culture aficionados.
Yeah, Yes, aficionados. That sounds good. I don't want to elevate us to expert yet because I don't think I'm quite there, but I'm getting damn close.
I'm definitely not expert.
No. I think I have to see Downton Abbey to be an expert, and I'm not going to fucking do it. So.
Well, I have them all DVR'd, so we'll see.
Which would be so hilarious to everyone if they had just heard the conversation we had prior to just coming on the air about Jeff's TV viewing habits and like stuff he hasn't seen that surprised me. And like... And then when he drops, like, I've got Downton Abbey just queued up my DVR for whatever.
Is it possible to watch
time.
The whole series before the Emmys?
No. No.
A lot of Downton Abbey there.
That'd be a lot of Downton Abbey because you'd have to watch, I think,
I'm just
going to
vote that across the board. You know why? Because it's British.
It is British. It means it's better.
Exactly.
So we'll get to Breaking Bad in a little bit. But first thing we'd like to get to here, Jeff.
What's up?
I don't know. You were saying before you had something to talk about, I guess, concerning, I guess, TV, actresses.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had previously mentioned I had seen Ted.
Oh, that's right. That's how we segued there.
Which is a very mediocre movie, but Mila Kunis was a standout performer in that movie. I mean...
And not just because she's hot.
Not just because she's hot, because she's always been hot. She was hot when she was on that 70s show, playing a ridiculously terrible character, delivering lines that were atrocious. And I thought, oh, here's another terrible actress, only got hired because she's a pretty face. But then I saw Ted, and I was wondering why she didn't get nominated for an Oscar. But I thought maybe it could have been a fluke, until last week I was flipping the channels, and I came upon a little movie called Friends with Benefits.
Friends with Benefits. Oh, that's with Justin Timberlake, right?
Justin Timberlake.
That's right. And they obviously have sex with each other.
They have sex with each other.
Because it feels good. Because they're in a relationship.
That's the benefits. And when I say I watched it, I mean I watched about 5 minutes of it. Because, you know, I get it.
I've like, also seen 5 minutes of that movie.
They were friends, and then they had sex, and they fall in love and live happily ever after. I'm sure that's what happens. But the sex scene in Friends with Benefits was insane. And that just... It was the greatest sex scene I've ever seen. She was so good. It was amazing. Like, this is the best actress alive today. Mila Kunis.
Her simulation of sex is just...
That's what I'm saying. Was it a simulation?
Smashing.
Can anybody even be that good at acting?
Have you seen her in Black Swan?
I have, and it was kind of hot.
Okay.
But it was also kind of weird and dark, and is it really happening? And we didn't really know what was going on. But this, I legitimately believed... that she was in ecstasy over Justin Timberlake performing cunnilingus on her. Mila Kunis-lingus, as it would be called. It was amazing. And
forever associated in my head with Cunnilingus, but not for the reasons that she used to be. Now it's just because, like, her name is just going to be tangled up in the word.
Wait, was it her going down to Natalie Portman or the other way around?
She was going down to Natalie Portman.
Ah, see, that's not the same.
No, I mean, but anybody... but this chick, man, she's giving it. She's taking it.
She's all about that. But seriously, it is incredible. It was the first time I was aroused by a sex scene in a movie.
Whoa! Attention, everyone. We have now.
Look.
Now I'm thinking about Jeff sitting there being aroused watching this movie, and I gotta tell you, it's getting me aroused.
It's fine. It's something that happens, and there's no reason to shirk it or not. Like, since Sharon Stone in Sliver, and I was about 14 when I watched that movie, I didn't even know what was happening.
Okay.
Because this is Sharon Stone, you know, she was in Casino and she was in all these movies.
But
and
now Sliver, not...
She, there's not. Her boobs, mm-hmm. and she's riding the crappy Baldwin brother, whatever. But yeah, that's how good of a scene it was, and this solidifies her as a legitimate actress. And to think where she came from that 70s show, just, oh my God, and playing Meg on Family Guy, and just her... She had nothing to work with.
And she's very good at Meg, though.
It's incredible.
Even though Meg's, like, hated, and, you know, we should hate Meg. But
I was thinking
to myself,
she's
very good as a voice actress as Meg.
Yes, she is very good. But I was thinking to myself, how did she not get a nomination for Ted? And the answer is simple. It's because there's a talking teddy bear.
That right there, that, like, undercuts any legitimacy of your film, is having this talking teddy bear being, I would say, a central character.
Yeah, it was a central character.
Like, he's not just a pro, you know, it's not just, like, this proliferary character here.
Yeah, the main character was basically in every scene of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's...
So I give that a pass, but then I'm thinking, how come she didn't get nominated for Friends with Benefits? And the reason is because it was just blind... It was piggybacked by another movie about the same exact subject that came out at the same exact time, No Strings Attached, starring Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman.
Oh my God, Natalie Portman!
Natalie Portman!
What a small world that Hollywood is. They're having sex with each other, even though they're not in interconnected relationships.
And this is how it always happens in Hollywood. They'll make a script, and then someone else will, like, hear about it, or they'll be eavesdropping, and they'll make the same exact movie, and it will just diminish the greatness of the other movie. And the other example I can think of this was, there were two movies that came out about the president's daughter coming of age... Yes. And finding love with a member of the Secret Service. And one starred Mandy Moore and Mark Harmon as the president.
Of course.
And the other was Katie Holmes and Michael Keaton. I don't have to tell you which movie was the good one, okay? Because Mandy Moore was amazing. And Mark Harmon is the greatest actor of all time.
Well, but you just slighted Batman and Katie Holmes.
Well, Michael Keaton, I mean, he was kind of riding Tim Burton's coattails.
That's true. Actually,
he made Multiplicity.
It's funny that you just mentioned all that, okay? Because you know that over at Place to Be Nation, we like what we do there is we have podcasts. There's a bunch of podcasts about a bunch of things, about this, whatever we're talking about. And then you've got the granddaddy, you know.
The granddaddy of them all.
Place to Be podcast, which they cover a good diverse amount of topics, but a lot of wrestling. If that's what you're into, then that's probably the number one wrestling podcast that you should be listening to.
But let's face it. If you like wrestling, then you will love Mila Kunis' acting.
Exactly. That's it. But so we've got the podcast going on there, and we're also running like a lot of articles daily. We got content going up daily.
A lot of great minds contributing to
it. A lot of great minds. And what you just said about the two movies coming out at the same time, how this phenomenon and just being seeming to be a constant in Hollywood, Andrew Ritchie did a article, I think it was back in June, about that. And it was very good. He's a very good, talented writer there. But it's something that I've always thought about, because you've got Volcano, Dante's Peak.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Volcano.
You know, and the big one of them all is Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. Yeah.
Like, just two vastly different movies. Like, and it's the weirdest phenomenon. You know why it's happening, but at the same time, it's like, well, what if those movies actually is good?
Yeah.
It gets lost because people can't remember which one it is.
People get confused, and they're like, oh, Justin Timberlake, he's in that crappy Ashton Kutcher movie. No, it was a totally different movie. Yeah.
Which is funny. But also, the other reason that you're saying that is funny is because that somehow Ashton Kutcher, they're dating, you know, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
That is insane.
Like in real life, not just like in the past in the 70s.
That just blows my mind. Okay. I can't believe that.
And I actually recently did an article on that douche, where I call him a douche. But that's,
why would someone of her caliber date a guy like that?
I don't get it, man. I don't get it because he's got a lot of money and he's like a really sound businessman, is what I've learned about Ashton Kutcher. Is he's super sound.
She thought Punk'd was hilarious.
She thought well, I did too, but that's because I was on drugs for that portion of the early 2000s. A lot of weed. A lot of weed,
So I should go on drugs because most things will seem more hilarious.
Pretty much drugs and alcohol, I've learned, makes things less shitty. South Park did an entire episode where Stan starts to see all the things that as a kid he loved, and then he just sees them as shit, literally. Like, sounds like shit pouring out of the mouths of things. When he puts on music, it's like people farting and shitting. And it just says the moral of the story was it's called being a cynical bastard. And the only real cure, the thing that helps with that is just drinking and probably doing drugs.
You heard it here, folks. Place to Be Nation.
I'm not endorsing it, but I am saying
do drugs and drink.
It definitely made Punk'd a lot better. I don't know if it would do it for that Jobs movie, but yeah, you should. So anyway, now that
check
we're far
out
off topic,
check out the Ashton Kutcher.
Go over there,
article,
check that out. Check out the one Andrew Ritchie's article about the two movies. Check out everything over there.
Let's see if we can get to the heart of the matter of how Mila Kunis is so underrated and how she is dating such a giant douchebag.
Maybe you should write something
about that.
And
why he would leave a show that made him famous in the first place.
Kind of while I was tanking, but oh. Either way. Yeah, read the article, actually. There's a lot about Ashton Kutcher. He pretty much sucks. So, no, he's just being a dude. He's just trying to do his thing, and I totally respect that.
The man
but,
was an underwear model.
He wasn't.
If you expect,
that's how he. His first role was based off the fact that he was a model. It was like it was one of those things where I'm a model, so I might as well get into acting. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, if you expect an underwear model turned actor to be a good guy, then you're expecting a little too much out of humanity.
Okay, that's enough. Because I've already made my said my piece about him.
Andrew
Ritchie. Maybe you should read that. We got to switch over. There's a lot to talk about. We need to get it in. And we still, at the end, check back, because we will probably just go through the quick rundown about the Emmys, which is going to be happening opposite of Breaking Bad next week, next Sunday. So, check in. We're going to just quickly run through a couple. We're not going to break down every category, but just kind of talk about it a little. But now, from here on in, it's going to be full-on spoilers up to and through all the way through Ozymandias. Is that how I say it? Ozymandias.
Very famous king.
Very famous king. So if you haven't seen up until that episode of Breaking Bad, which was aired yesterday on the 15th, then just skip
ahead.
If you
haven't seen that episode of Breaking Bad, then you have
as Jeff
not
will always say,
seen.
Do yourself a favor and watch it because it's
this is the most compelling hour of television ever made.
It is. So here's where we get into it.
Let's go.
It really was like it was like the most perfect hour of television from beginning to end because they didn't even open how we thought they would open.
Yeah, they opened with a flashback.
They opened with a flashback. It seemed like a no-brainer. Just open up exactly where you left off in the middle of this like super intense, like high-stakes gunfight. And you know, they flash back to the first cook, but like some extra scenes that we didn't really get to see.
Yeah, the opening of the show sets up the rest of the show, which was there's a lot of things that they don't show you that you don't even need to see because just the fact that they happened is intense enough. And yeah. there's like three or four things that I will name as we discuss it through.
Yeah, please, we don't want to jump too much.
You would think that they were gypping the audience.
But no.
But they're not.
They're not.
It's just so perfectly,
yeah.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, so, I mean, we opened Walt's rehearsing a lie, which is obviously just
Bogdan.
Bogdan's
got
a
bug up his ass.
No, is it a bug? A stick? Like
stick up his ass.
He's got a stick up his ass. He said butt.
This and reminds like, me of the scene.
He was being. That's who Walter White was then. He was saying the word butt instead of ass.
A stick up his butt. A bug. Yeah, and he's gone from. It's incredible. This reminds me of the scene from Reservoir Dogs where Mr. Orange is rehearsing the bathroom story and just saying it over and over and over again. And it, every little detail is important. And that's like...
Because he didn't want to get messed up.
Aaron Paul had tweeted out during that scene, the lie that started all lies. And this is where he becomes such a brilliant liar. He's practicing every single detail.
And he probably never had to do that up until that point. Like, he never had to come up with a lie with Skylar because...
He was just a natural. It just came to him all of a sudden.
It just came to him. He was just...
He had to do it or everything would be...
So we go there. Now, the one thing that struck me the most was, well, what's Jesse doing back there? And his back when Jesse wore the baggiest clothes in the world and was just, you know, like...
The weird, like, DC jackets.
Those, like, hideous DC jackets. You know, like, just, like, too much going on. But he was, like, sword fighting back there. And I'm like, okay. Jumping off a boulder. It was like there was a 10-year-old in the background. Like, at this, like, this weird, sick family meth cooking, like, outing. Like, hey, kids, I'm going to park cook some meth. You guys go out back and, you know, just play in the background. Like, it was – but it was also reinforcing the whole Jesse as, like, this forever adolescent and, like, innocent, even though he's done a lot of shady stuff. But just, like, him as that child, obviously, they're just really sticking it for possibly the last time. We don't know.
But see, I didn't think of that.
See,
you were thinking of that. I was thinking of, you know, Mr. Poke Holes in the Plot kind of guy. It's a good thing his phone worked, right? It's a good thing his cell phone worked out in the desert because it never works before. But
That's true. They never had that.
Oh, hey, Skylar.
They never had that.
Hey, Skylar, I'm just at the car wash. But hey, I'm like,
I thought it worked in that first episode, though, after the first cook.
Yes, but then there were issues where they couldn't get Pete on the phone when he was driving out to the...
That's true. But they were in a different area. Because they had already used the phone here in this place. He had already called. They're in the same exact place as where the gunfight is.
I'll concede.
You better.
It's just a desert is all
It's thing. Just a desert.
Probably not a lot of cell phone towers.
No, there's no towers. So we resolve out of that, and it's the... aftermath of the gunfight, so they throw us forward a little bit.
So there you have the first instance. So Gomi is dead. You don't see him get shot.
Gomi's dead. We don't see him get shot. He's just on the ground. And
Hank is shot in the leg. You don't see him get shot. And it doesn't matter. You just know that it was going to happen anyway.
It was going to happen.
But you're Gomi is just robbed of that death scene, which I'd be, as an actor, I'd be pissed.
But they had the standoff.
The
standoff was intense, and it was
so that's instance one of their ellipse of information. So we come to the scene, and Gomi's dead. Hank is shot.
Yep, and Hank is shot in the leg, which is obviously ironic. And is it ironic? Is that irony?
Well, it's unfortunate because he spent so many hours.
It's Alanis Morissette ironic. Is what it is.
It's like you just rehab for 6 months, and then you just got shot in the leg. is how Alanis would say it.
So he's shot in the leg, and he's trying to get that gun, which is obviously very – like there was like a shotgun lying on the ground. He's crawling to it, that miracle weapon, and he just doesn't get there. And it's very much like the episode with the 1 minute where that gun battle that was happening, where he just can't get there. But – I mean, so that you're like, what is going to happen to Hank? Like, he is not defending himself now. He is trapped right here. And Uncle Jack is a sick human being.
Yeah.
Clearly doesn't care about anything, especially that there are cops.
I mean, you probably could have surmised last week that they weren't going to make it out of there because there has to be a couple more episodes and they're outnumbered anyway.
Yeah.
And he had that conversation with Maria on the telephone.
Well, that to me is what, like, you know, that's I wasn't surprised when then he was shot. And then you're like, well, he's probably going to die, which unfortunately is what had to happen here. So
what ensues from there is
that conversation is just
2.5 minute development of Walt going from family Walt to evil Heisenberg, which is just. Totally mind-blowing.
Yeah. So how does that happen, though? How does that happen? I mean, it's...
Well, he still thinks that there's a chance to save Hank.
So he begs for his life. He begs for Hank's life.
He gives up the money.
He tells him there's $80 million buried in... So now we know a number, because before we had no... Apparently, it could be quantified. despite the claims that we have made on this show that that amount of money could never be.
I think that we should get one of those barrels from Home Depot.
Do an experiment?
Make $100 bills into stacks and fill it.
So we can see the 11 million.
If it comes anywhere close to 11 million, I'll give Vince Gilligan a lot of credit. But I don't know. I'm feeling that they just pulled that number out of their head. They're like, oh, 80 million.
80 million. 80 million. Yeah, well, so Walt gives them the 80 million. He tells them that it's right here. It's buried on the ground.
Turns out to be a huge mistake, as will be very pointedly pointed out by Hank.
Yeah, because Hank pretty much, he tells him that, you know, Walt, you're the smartest man I know.
How do you feel about that? His dying words, given the man who he loathes, who he's been chasing, who ruined his life, basically, a compliment.
No, but not really. It was a backhanded compliment, because he said, you're the smartest man I know, and you didn't realize that they already made up their mind 10 minutes ago. Yeah. Basically saying, like, You're so smart, but you're so stupid.
Yeah, but like, it was stupid.
Like, you think you're – and it's also, like, it's got to – if I'm Walt and I – after when I'm walking through the desert later processing all of this, that would really stick in me, because it's basically like, oh, you think you're a tough criminal? Well, you didn't even know that they already made up the decision to kill me, because you don't
– Yeah, but Hank knows it wasn't out of stupidity. Hank knows – that this is the first time it's ever actually come to roost for Walt personally.
Oh, that's true.
Nothing has actually happened to him that couldn't just be forgotten. But Hank can't die. Hank can't die. That doesn't make any sense. That's my brother-in-law.
Yeah. You can't kill my brother-in-law.
If Hank dies, then everything I've done is a waste. So take the money. He's trying to just convince himself. It's that denial that maybe Jack will go along with him on this. But, you know, that's what was so powerful about Hank saying what he said. Because he's still like, all right, I'm going to die. I might as well tell this guy, like, dude, you just blew it big time. Instead of saying, you know what, I'll see you in hell, which is what I would expect him to say. Or, you know, I hope they shoot you too, or something like that. But no, it's... He was almost kind of touched that Walt tried to save him.
Yeah, no, it definitely looked like that. Well, I mean, I think he realized that he was going to die. It was that Mike situation where everything now is through this total different lens. Like, I'm dying right here. Yeah. So he went from victory of, like, we've got him, to he's going to die, which is exactly what happens. He says to Jack, whatever you're going to do, just, and then he doesn't even get to finish the sentence, and he is shot. Now, that moment right there... I actually see what happened this weekend is I went to a bunch of shows this weekend.
You know what happens when you go to a show?
The first show I didn't really drink too much. I went on Friday to see this band Daughters, who's from Rhode Island and reunited and so chilled out. So they sold out the show, so they added another one on Sunday. Some friends didn't get tickets to the Friday one, went on Sunday, but I had a ride, so I figured I didn't get to get drunk the other night, so I'm gonna get drunk tonight. So what happens when I get home at 1:30, almost 2 in the morning? I need to watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So I gasped. I think I actually half shed a tear when Hank died, because it wasn't Hank. It was Walt. It was like Walt's anguish, like at that moment, he just like screamed, like had this, I was like, that was like the, that, it's like all the humanity that he had in him at all just is just like,
this is exploding. Everything. This is everything that he has done. Going wrong in one moment.
In one moment. Everything.
Everything could have been fine until that happened.
So now he's given away the money. He's told them where the money is. They start digging. Now, but before we get, like, to that part, like, what did you think about that? Like, Walt's idealized – does he have too idealized notion of family, do you think, like, going into that? Like, I mean, yes, Hank was out to get him. Hank was out to get him. And if you're going to be the guy – Heisenberg, there's no family.
He thought he could get around it. He thought that he could just eliminate all the threats and Hank wouldn't have any evidence. He didn't see Jesse turning
that's true.
Rat on him.
Which we talked a lot last time, yeah. I just thought, basically cracked the man. Cracked Walt, I would say. Like, I think that just kind of like, he was just laying there in a heap after that on the ground.
Think about it. What is he going to do now? He's going to go back. He's going
to
go back.
Well, he also didn't know what was going to happen to him at that point. He had no idea what was going to happen. But what they did was they started digging. They reached the money. They pulled it all up,
which was buried all in the same spot. Very smartly.
Very smartly.
He probably could have told them there was $40 million. Maybe he had two different sites.
Yeah, I don't get why he did that too. Well, that brings up a whole other thing. Did he tell them about all of the money?
Well, we know that there are seven barrels.
There were seven barrels. That's true. What an idiot! He could have told them anything. He's been lying day in and day out for like a year or like a year and a half or whatever, however long time it is, and then he just tells them exactly how much money is there, like, and how many barrels, and all. So stupid. So stupid. But that ends. They decide to let him live because Todd respects him so. But what does Walt do right there? Now, right when we've seen him at his most human, probably, in the entire show, like that
another moment. Right before that, though. So Hank getting shot, that's a gas moment.
That was.
And then they pull away and they show him getting pulled away.
Oh, yeah.
Foreground, like they're just pulling Hank's body.
Oh, Hank and Gomez.
Oh, my God.
They're pulling Hank and Gomez when they loaded the trucks up with the barrels.
This isn't the first 10 minutes of the episode.
This is the first, yeah.
There's so many more gas moments.
There's so many more gas moments.
We have to talk faster, I think.
I think we're going to have to. Okay, so, I mean, right then and there, it's like he switches right there because they're walking away. They're going to let him live. And what does Walt say to Jack? You still, the Pinkman.
Jesse Pinkman. You still owe me because he spots him under the car. They never thought to look under the car.
Yeah, which I really didn't understand.
I mean, Jesse dug himself a little hole. Didn't have any like dirt in his fingers or anything.
Oh, of course not. He's a pretty boy.
But yeah, they searched all over the desert in like a mile radius, but not under
the car. They didn't look under the car. I did question that
but
as far as Walt the clock goes.
Walt is smart. Walt is also on the smartest ground. Man who's ever lived.
He was on the ground crying over Hank. That's why he saw him down there. So that can be explained, but not why they didn't look.
They're not as stupid. They're just a couple criminals, white supremacists. They're not as smart as this chemist. Meth cook.
So he like points out Jesse, and they grab him from under the car, and they like you sure you want to do this? And he nods yes, like okay, kill Jesse right there. He's waiting for her right there, and they decide no. Todd's like no, wait, we need to find out what he told Hank.
Todd,
because Todd is so like you're starting to go. This guy actually is like brilliant as far as like no one else thought of that. Which is stupid.
But that's not even what he was thinking.
No, he's like, I want to torture the shit out of him and get him to...
He wants him to help him...
What they do is they enslave Jesse after beating him over and over again so that he can...
And this is ellipse number two. You do not get to see Jesse being tortured.
No, we didn't.
But it doesn't matter. It's still powerful. You just see him...
His face was like really, really puffy.
It was terrible.
I was concerned for Aaron Paul's well-being. I thought they were like actually torturing him in that.
Snitches get stitches, man.
He's telling him everything. He's saying like, yeah, Jesse was giving it up, wasn't he?
He gave it up, and I think they believed him. Yeah, I think the torture is over.
But the torture is over. But now they're going to make him cook in this like super lab that they made. I'm assuming that Lydia helped build like an actual new super lab. We didn't get to see her this week. Todd's love.
Question.
Yeah.
They have $80 million. Yeah. Why do they need to keep making meth?
Because that's what criminals do.
Okay.
They're stupid. Why did Walt continue to make meth? Plus, they made an obligation to these
Walt
people.
Walt quit after he got... No one's ever made $80 million making meth.
Do we know that, though?
Not on Todd's level or Jack's level.
Oh, that's true. Not
Why don't they
level.
Just go away? Why don't they just tell Lydia to go F herself?
I think it maybe they're respectful, respectable gentlemen, and they realize that they've made a bargain with a man and a woman and a company in Madrigal.
Also, I want to know the logistics of this stuff. Like, how do they get a pen to keep Jesse in for the torture, and how do they set up a zip line to handcuff him? Like, so he can move freely.
We're gonna hopefully we find out next week. Hopefully we see a little bit more of this. But I think we will. I think we're gonna see Lydia next week too because it only makes sense.
Well, I think set up now. I'm gonna make a quick prediction here. I think it's set up pretty clearly that Jesse is going to escape and that he is going to be the one to take Walt down.
That's how I hope so. I hope so. Because Walt just basically like...
His penance is served, man.
Yeah.
His penance for Gale and all this stuff.
He's done it all.
This is...
He said his Hail Marys.
Hank got an easy bullet in the back of the head, and Jesse is not going to go down like this.
No.
This is not how it's going to happen.
But we're skipping over like the part that was like one of the most powerful things about them taking Jesse away to this torturous
super meth
and this lab is why, where he's
this
asleep.
Is why Bryan Cranston is going to win the Emmy. Because
next year.
Because they just close up on his face, and he doesn't even need to say anything. He has
stops
so many great,
them. He stops them.
He has, he has so many great monologues and interactions and lies that you know are lies that he thinks are truths and all this kind of stuff that makes it a great character. But he can just be crying as Walt, and then just his eyes change, and he's Heisenberg. That's what you see in that scene. He becomes Heisenberg, and he goes up to Jesse, and he tells him about Jane. Oh my God!
Yeah, that like so that was the next gasp moment where you're like that. So before we even got,
he knows he's going to be tortured.
Yes,
he knows he's going to be killed.
Yeah,
and he
and he tells him.
So like, it's all Jesse's fault that Hank is dead. It's all Jesse's fault, and Jesse should burn in hell.
Yeah,
and
that's the way Walt sees it. He sees that he brought him there.
It's almost too cruel. It's almost unbelievable.
But what we just saw was two extremes. Is that's to me, that's what I was seeing it as. We just saw the extreme humanness of Walter, and then we saw the extreme, like, no-nonsense, slit-your-throat-with-a-box-cutter of the cruelty of Heisenberg. Like, that, you know, like, he did that on purpose. He sent a message. At least that's what I was looking at. He was basically telling Jesse, like, you know, you should never have crossed me. You should never have crossed me to begin with and then ratted me out.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Couldn't they just call it Even Steven because of Brock?
they should have called it. I wish Jesse had made that argument. Like, well, just stop. Even Steven's now, all right?
Even
you tried to kill that kid. I tried to arrest you. It's over. No, we don't get that, though. So then... What we move on from there is we move on to the next scene, which is Skylar. Well, did that happen next, Skylar and Marie?
I believe after the abduction, it was Marie at the car wash.
That's right. So Marie goes to the car wash.
My God. You figure this is the thing about this episode. There's no downtime whatsoever.
There's zero downtime.
1 minute where you're not just wanting to throw up.
Especially when you have DVR. I was literally just like, fast forward, okay.
So Marie goes into the car wash and tells Skylar that Hank has Walt. Why? Because Hank called Marie. And this sets up just, what has to happen now? She has to tell Walter Jr.
Yeah, she insisted about it. She
immediately.
She tells
the car wash.
She says to him. She says to Skylar, like, "I can help you. I can get you out of this. You know, we can be, you know, playing Hank in a way, like doing what Hank or what like cops do. It's almost like Marie was like playing a cop. She didn't really have the power to get her, like, especially now. She definitely doesn't have the power to get her out of it at all because Hank's dead."
It's so freaky.
But she doesn't know. That's the other part of the scene.
She
that
doesn't
makes it
know.
Insane.
She doesn't know.
She's talking about this, saying, Hank's got him under arrest right now. He just called me. And you're thinking, I actually was saying it out loud. I was saying, Hank's dead.
Hank's dead. And this all has to come to fruition. This all has to become.
She's going
to
find out. Like,
they're all going to find out. They're all going to find out. So you're thinking about Skylar, like, breaking down because it's over. You're thinking about they have to tell Walter Jr. and that kind of horror that's going to happen, and what's going to happen even after that because Hank is dead. It doesn't – oh, my God. So, first of all, Walter being at the car wash, do you find that is irresponsible?
Walter Jr.?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's summer. Why is it irresponsible for him to be at the car wash?
Well, don't you think that Skylar would be, like, concerned that he would pass his MS onto the customers?
Well, that's it. You make a good point. Here's the thing. I know that you can't get it from touching toilet seats, but you can get it if, like, from touching money or something?
Yeah.
So maybe he shouldn't be. No, no, it's the other way around. It's the other way around.
He's just spreading disease.
He can't get it through, like, money or anything, but, like, they can't use the same toilet, so they have to have, like, a special toilet for him.
I just think that is just
downright. No, you make a good point. You make a good point. Just shouldn't. He shouldn't be there. But he especially shouldn't be there now, because now he's right outside the door and they go to tell him. He doesn't believe. They just dropped this bomb on him.
Ellipse number three. You never get to
we
see,
don't get
them,
to
tell
see
him.
Them tell.
You just come back and all of a sudden Walter Jr. is freaking out. And he ruins the scene. Let's just put it
okay.
that way.
Okay.
Is it the actor? Is it the character? It is a discussion that we will be having as Breaking Bad fans until the end of time. But he just is all, this is bullshit, you're full of shit, you're full of shit. Comes to the greatest line possibly in TV history. So you're saying that you've been lying. So if you've been lying, then you're a liar. So maybe you're lying now.
But did he say that then?
Yeah, that was the first thing he said. Because
oh, okay.
Skylar was like, no, she's telling the truth.
Oh, I thought he said that later. Yeah, no, okay, you're right. Like, yeah, he doesn't make any sense. Okay, but I want to make it clear.
If someone came to you and said your father is a meth dealer and he's about to be arrested, how would you react?
Well, I there would be disbelief, but I wouldn't start using weird, nonsensical logic to try to say that the person telling me, who is my mother and my aunt,
the aunt who happens to be the wife of the guy who's arresting him,
which they told him, and that I wouldn't say I'd be like get out of here, fuck you. I'd say that a bunch, you know, like, but disbelief. But I wouldn't start accusing them of lying to me about it, like they're Ashton Kutcher and I'm like Justin Timberlake. Huh?
I don't know. I guess maybe.
That's what we call, guys. That's what we call. What we call that? Callbacks.
That's a little callback there for you.
So that's business talk. Don't worry yourself. Don't worry yourself with that. Anyway,
maybe I've just lost touch with my teenage years. But I feel like I would have just been like, oh, that's
this all
the money
makes sense. The money, how they were able to. Oh, he wasn't a gambler. But you wonder if they explain it, like if he asked questions.
Does he have a good lawyer? I mean, he's not going to go to jail.
Wait, his lawyer is that guy from TV?
That guy from TV?
The guy that got beat up? Oh, he got beat up!
What happened to your face?
My whole time that this has been happening, that, like, week in and week out, especially the past few weeks where they've really been, like showing us, like, Walt Jr. getting, like, duped even more by this whole thing. I'm like, I wanted to get it and, like, just go, well, that makes sense, you know, like, but no, they have him react in like the obvious way.
Well, if you think
the
that's the
real
way, just that's definitely the low point of Walter Jr. on this series, right? Wrong, but anyway.
But I want to make a point here, okay? Because we've had a lot of fun with Walt Jr. We've definitely made fun of him a lot for a lot of things. His physical disability, for one. And
it's very noticeable.
We've even implied that it was related to his mental faculties on at least more than one occasion. And now we're obviously trying to make it out like he's, you know, you can catch his case of the Crips. But I want to be really clear there. He is an idiot in spite of his physical disability.
Yeah.
Like, this has nothing to do with that. And they aren't related. It's just that God slapped him twice. He made him an idiot, and he also gave him cerebral palsy / MS /...
It's almost like just because he has the disability, they can let him say shit a couple times, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's just like the rest of us.
But no,
he's much dumber. He's much dumber and much worse.
I don't want to be using his physical disability as a crutch or anything, you know? I didn't mean that. All right, so that happens. Now, what happens straight from there? Okay, now let's back up a little bit. We got to back up because Walt, they let him live. They give him a barrel of money, which has about $11 million in it. And he
Isn't
now
Jack
he's
a nice
just,
guy? Just tosses him in.
Well, he said, oh, you caught me in a... He said, plus Todd...
My nephew likes you.
And also you caught me in a particularly good mood.
He just stone cold murdered two DEA agents, but he's going to let Walt live, but whatever.
Yeah, no, he lets Walt live. Walt takes his barrel and also and he just starts rolling it through the desert.
How many miles? God only knows.
We don't know. I'm
Walt
assuming he has cancer, So I'm assuming it wasn't too much.
He dug a hole big enough for 7 barrels full of money.
Although I would love to do the Google Maps search between the reservation, that Tahajili reservation, and also where we know that they live, because that'd be kind of fun. But anyway, so he buys a car off of a Native American, an old truck, who didn't want to give him the car, but then did when he flashed him a big wad of money. And
how much is a stack?
I don't know.
I thought you liked hip hop.
I do like hip hop, but I don't like hip hop that talks about stacks of money. Like, that's typically
it's a $100 bill banded in a stack of how much?
Rubber band stacks, rubber band, like that, song.
How many bills are in the stack? Is what I'm saying.
I have no idea. I can't even begin to guesstimate. That's guess and estimate.
That's going to go a long way to our experiment with the barrel.
Well,
find out how much money was in there.
Jeff, there's a process about it. We have to go through a series of things. Don't worry.
Please tweet at us if you know how much money is in a stack.
Now, while we talk about the barrels, though, that was an interesting thing that I was thinking about earlier this week, because barrels are just such a huge part of the show, and they're never good. They're never, ever good.
Yeah,
the first barrel we ever had was like, what, the throwing dead people into barrels? Like in,
yeah, what was the guy's name? Not Crazy 8, but the other one. He was the first one to go.
It was...
Actually, no. He was killed in the bathtub. Because yeah. Jesse didn't listen
to him. Yeah. So it was Crazy 8. And then everybody they killed after that got put in a barrel. The methylamine, that obviously was a major barrel scene where they had to move that when they had that little their first little heist. Mm-hmm. But like after that, nothing is ever good come out of barrels, including this money.
Well, the barrel is a good symbol of illegal activity. You know, the bootlegging... Barrels of ale, barrels of guns, smuggling,
that's
cocaine.
True. But plus, I guess it also makes us think, is Walt going to end up in a barrel? Is that what's going to happen? Is he in the barrel because of how much his money means to him?
Yes, he is the barrel, and the money is his soul.
it's a Pulp Fiction thing, I see. We're really touching upon a lot of stuff here tonight. All right, so now... Walt gets the car and he goes home. Okay, so when they leave the whatchamacallit, the car wash.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Walt Jr. and then his mother and his aunt and Holly, and they go home.
Let's not forget about Holly.
Yeah, let's
Holly
not forget about Holly.
Holly is a very important character.
No. So when it was like they leave, not Marie's not with them. They go home. They see the truck there. They go in, and Walt is freaking out, saying, "We need to go. We need to go. These people tried to kill me. I got this money." Blah blah. Now Walt Jr. is having the worst time of his life.
Imagine ever. Walt Jr. He's doling out singles at the car wash. He's saying, "Have an A1 day," and all of a sudden he gets called into the office. His mom and his aunt tell him that his father is a crazy meth dealer,
a murdering
meth dealer, and he's being arrested. They go home. They see the dad packing up and all this stuff, and my Uncle Hank's dead.
And he just tells him, like, kind of like off, like, "I thought you were being arrested, Dad. Oh, I negotiated my way out of it." What do you mean? You just negotiated him? You just gave him money?
And Skylar
Hank's
is so
dead, isn't
out.
He?
Skylar is so freaked out that she doesn't even have the capacity to pull Walt aside and tell Walter Jr. to, "Hey, go eat some cereal, go eat some eggs or bacon." She's just flat out shouting at him, "Where's Hank? Where's Hank? You killed him. Oh, my God."
I would like to know how
many people, while watching this episode, literally had heart attacks and dropped dead. Because I thought...
It was really tough.
This
like,
was crazy.
I watch a lot of horror movies.
I've never seen anything
unrelenting.
Like this. I've never seen anything like this episode.
This actually
ever.
Reminded me, in the way that it was unrelenting, reminded me of the movie High Tension. If anybody's ever seen that out there. Hot Tension.
Side note.
It's just like that the entire movie is just one incredibly tense moment after another. Like, side note...
Side note, if anybody wants to call in, even though they don't have a phone line, they can talk to Josh about horror movies because the mailman here doesn't watch them because they give him terrible nightmares.
Did you have nightmares last night?
I didn't. I think the last nightmare, I had a nightmare a couple nights ago from not even watching anything, but watching a scene from a show that I walked in through the living room while my sister's watching a show.
Sorry to hear that.
And I saw something terrible. I'm like, oh, it's just always something terrible. Like, it was people burning alive.
Well, at this point in the episode, that's how I was feeling, though. Like, I was like, I just want this to stop. You know, like, and like, which is funny because we want the action so much on this show. We want it, you know, we've been talking about when's Walt Jr. going to find out, you know, like, and now we're seeing the family for the first time ever have it all out. in front of each other about the thing that's been happening for however 60 episodes.
Yeah, the desert stuff aside, I give the writers an A+ for all of this stuff, because you have a scene where they enter a house with Walt, and within 2 minutes, Skylar grabs a knife.
Yeah. Skylar grabs a knife to protect them.
She convinces herself that he killed Hank. She grabs a knife, says, get out. She slices his hand. They have a struggle with the knife. You're thinking, oh my God, he's going to kill Skylar. He's going to kill Skylar.
No. No, but then out of nowhere, because now he knows.
You're a pussy.
Walter Jr. saves the day.
Walter Jr. saves the day.
He's
You go back to what was it, season 2 or 3, when he is just ripping on Skylar, calling her a bitch, and I want to go live with Dad and all this stuff.
Not anymore.
And just instantly, he's like, I don't know what's going on exactly, but I know Dad's an evil prick.
Well, the weird thing there though was that so Skylar attacked him, and all he was actually – I don't want to give Walt too much credit here, but all he was trying to do was to get his family out of harm's way and to just leave. Okay? They were going to just leave with their $11 million and have a comfortable life. Okay? But Skylar attacked him with a knife.
Well, if you think of it from Skylar's perspective, she convinced herself that he killed Hank. So it's not like that is something that
she just tried to say that you could kill Jesse a week ago.
Jesse is Jesse. Hank is her friggin' sister's husband, for
God's sake. Hank was trying to put them in jail.
Hank, it doesn't matter. He was off limits. He was bounds.
I guess what we're saying is Skylar, in one instant in her conversation with Marie, basically just everything, and then with this happening with Hank dying, pretty much just went from, okay, I'm going to be a little bit hardened because that's what we need to do, to
yes, as long as Walter Jr. and Holly and Marie and Hank were alive, then who really gives a shit? That's what she was thinking. But Walt really didn't have any time to explain because she already had the conversation.
Marie was there, though. Was Marie there or not?
Marie was not at the house.
Oh, that's right. She's there later.
She went home because she was going to get ready for the prim and proper bells and whistles crap with the arrest.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so Skylar was just thinking that there was no time for Walter to explain, no, this is what happened, and this and this and this is what happened. It was too hectic. She was like, oh my God. Walt killed Hank. He's crazy. This isn't going to happen anymore. Knife fight.
She sliced him. She sliced his hand.
Sliced him up. He rips it away. Walter Jr. calls the cops. He's like...
Yeah, Walter Jr. calls the cops, which, I mean, that means that Walt can kill him, right?
And here...
According to the code that we know that he follows, because we saw it last week.
I should fully be expecting Walt to look at Walter Jr. and say, coward, and come after him.
And just come after him with a knife. But he's got to crawl to make it fair.
And they had that great shot, looking down on Skylar. We're supposed to be a family looking down on Skylar and Walter Jr. just cowering. Oh, that was great. But then he calls the cops, and see, this is another. We get back to Mila Kunis here, because do I blame Mila Kunis for that 70s show or the writers? The phone conversation with 911. Is it him? Was it his delivery, or could they have written him a little better call? Because he calls and he says, I need the police. It's my dad. He pulled a knife on my mom, and I think he might have killed somebody.
Yes.
That's the worst thing that he could possibly said. Who would say that? That is not what he would have said. Oh, my God.
He's standing right in front of me right now looking at me. I shouldn't.
He used to be the chemistry teacher at the high school. Anyway.
Hello?
He might have killed somebody. Who might have killed? I don't know. Uncle Hank? Who's Uncle Hank? Just come. I need the police.
Hank Schrader.
Oh, man.
DEA agent.
But then, another gas moment. And what's going to happen now? Walt's just going to leave, right? There's nothing he could do. He kidnaps his own child.
He kidnaps baby Holly.
Oh, my God. And you have a moment because
he runs out the door with her, though. It was kind of almost that's when I got worried. I was like, this might be getting Bush League here. It was kind of like one of those that running out the door, snatch it up with the diaper bag and everything.
He took the baby bag.
There's something about someone grabbing a baby and a baby bag that makes it look like, I don't know, just kind of
So at the time, after this 15-minute sequence in their lives, it seems really nuts. It seems really crazy. And you have that great family-smashing moment, which harkens back to the house being condemned, where Walt goes to get the ricin. And you see Skylar running out of the house in broad daylight. Walt, no! And she's, like, covered in blood. Yeah. Walt, no! And you're like, oh, that doesn't make – like, why? What's going to happen now? He just kidnapped. But was it part of the plan? So they come back from commercial, and he's, like, changing the baby. And she's like, mama. First of all, what are the ethics of having a baby in a television show and it being sad? Okay? Because the baby isn't acting.
Well, I think it's fine.
I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
The baby's just sad because babies are always sad when they poop their pants, when they're hungry.
But if they're sad, but if they're being filmed. They're being filmed.
Plus, they're actresses. They're sad because they're sitting around on standby on the set when they don't need them yet. That's why they're sad. Anyway, so they get there. He's got the baby. He's changing the baby in the bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he has some sort of guilty look on his face, like he feels guilty. Now, prior to this, I'd gotten a little pissed off because I was a little saucy, as they say.
You were sauced up.
I was sauced up. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, they're really, really pushing this supervillain thing, huh, now? Like, come on. Like,
or
he's snatching up babies.
Or are they?
Or are they? So, he then calls Skylar. Now, what we see then is the cops are everywhere. So, the cops are at his house.
Which Walt clearly knows that she would have called the cops.
Well, the cops have already been called at this point because he saw Walter Jr. doing it in front of him and
Walter
didn't put a bullet in front of in his brain.
And now the baby's gone and Marie knows and Marie's hooked up the thing.
Yeah,
bang.
Marie's there now. Hank's dead. Marie knows Hank's dead, right? At this point, she's crying her eyes out because she loved him. And
except for the part where he made her life miserable for he was there, a good couple.
They're a good couple.
They understand each other.
Then and now Walt calls her up and basically has a hell of a monologue where he says, are the cops there? She says no, and then he starts talking, knowing that the cops full well that the cops are listening.
Yeah. So this is clearly, and this is like the first selfless thing that Walt has done.
But the funny thing is how it's presented. Because what he does, obviously
it's
you're listening
ironic.
To this, you know, is that he's...
This is real ironic, not Alanis Morissette.
Now Alanis Morissette. Although, technically, that's real ironic, too. She's a real person, Jeff.
Stay tuned next week for the breakdown of the Alanis Morissette ironic song. Which things are
every
are
time we do
ironic.
That we never get back to it.
That's the thing.
Next week, guys.
Always
we
leave the cliffhanger. Always leave the cliffhanger.
Where it's coming. So he starts telling her what the hell's wrong with you. You know why? Like really laying into her. Like bad. This is all your fault. You're disrespecting me. And he's crying while he's doing it. Right. He's got tears in his eyes. So she's obviously freaking out. Like you took my child. And he says, "Cause you need to learn." Which I'm like, oh, that is the cruelest thing like to ever say. I took your child because you need to learn, and it pretty much says like that's it. You know, like makes fun of her, mocks her voice.
Ooh, Walt, it's immoral.
Yeah,
you shouldn't
which was
be doing
kind of
this.
Comical. I laughed a little. That I was a little worried there too because I was like, oh man.
I in no way want to have any part of these criminal activities.
We've had like the
activities.
Most solid episode of television possibly ever, and then it's like, but. So he leaves, calls her a stupid bitch. Now, one thing I read online was that it's almost like the writers for this episode were like using all the backlash against Skylar and Anna Gunn in the monologue that Walt said, like just saying everything that people have been saying.
Yeah, it was sort of what do you call that? There's a word for it.
I don't know.
Where the audience becomes part of the. I'll look that up.
All right. Well, we will look that up eventually. Next week, guys.
Stay tuned next week.
Stay tuned for next week.
For my French word that means that.
Oh, it's French?
It's French.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can never even think of that then. I cannot remember. I always mix up all the French literary devices. Where are we going with that? So he's screaming at her. Mocking her in the way that she's been mocked, which is amazing because it's like they're ending the show, or it's like the best way to like end a show using what the audience has been saying. No one, I feel like no one does that well or like has done that.
Mm.
But amazing. So after that, the next thing we see is a firehouse, right? Yeah. And the siren is going off, the lights, and when they, I guess the firefighters go out there and see it, they find Baby Holly, and it's got her address on there. So Walt's,
and she is crying.
Giving the baby back.
That baby is miserable, and it doesn't make me feel good. I don't like it.
Well, it's the sirens. It's the sirens.
They should just use a CGI baby.
Kids hate sirens. A CGI baby. This ain't Ally McBeal, buddy.
Well, there's got to be another way. I mean, it's just terrible. You take a little baby, you put her in a fire engine just because assholes like us like to watch a show.
So do you think he did that to exonerate Skyler?
He definitely did, because
that, you think that was the plan, like making sure that, like,
yeah, and he's off of her? Yes, definitely. But did he take the baby with this plan in mind?
That I don't know, and I guess we won't know.
Or did he take her out of just a freaking out episode, and he thought of the plan later?
I thought that was happening. I think there was like some sort of like he was sitting on it and realized that he shouldn't have taken the baby and all of that. That he was acting out, trying to get back at her, sort of thing. But we'll find out. I'm sure they'll explain it. This show is not Lost. They will not the show Lost. It they will explain, I think, most things. I think we'll get to, because it's a part of what Walt is. What he's thinking when he's doing things is something that we need to understand, because he's the character that we understand the most. So, and they will give it to us.
This was the first time that I really regretted seeing next on scenes, because
I didn't
He gets into the red minivan. The guy, Saul's guy, that will wipe out his existence.
That's how it ended. He goes, the vacuum cleaner shows up.
Yeah, he put proof that Skyler wasn't involved with it, and he gives the baby back, and he goes away to, you know.
So what was on the next on scenes?
But the next on scenes were him talking to Saul. So obviously he comes back, and Saul's like, they're going to keep coming after Skyler if you're not around. So who's coming
after
Skyler?
Maybe that's later.
There's only two episodes left.
The next episode's called Granite State. And what I'm saying is maybe that puts us now – maybe he's back in Albuquerque. Like, maybe he's talking to Saul when he comes back to Albuquerque, which we know he does in that flash forward that we were doing. That's what I think is going to happen. I'm not going to make any other predictions for our show at this point. I think Jesse will end up taking him out.
Jesse's
going to live.
Just to sum up.
Although I heard that everyone dies. I think that everyone dies. So maybe it is like Lost.
Everyone dies?
Yeah. Oh, guys, sorry. Backwards Lost spoiler there.
I personally have not seen any episodes of Lost, and I could not possibly care less.
Maybe they're all going to be Cylons.
I don't know what that means.
No. It's just this thing that I just ruined for a bunch of people. So follow-up stuff about this episode. I would consider Hank Walt's nemesis throughout the entire show, as far as, like, that's kind of like what he was sparking him of becoming Heisenberg was too, because of Hank. It was truly like his nemesis, even though he didn't know. Hank had no idea that Walt was his nemesis, but the whole time
it
was
good enough.
His nemesis.
It was good enough for Walt to beat him.
Yeah. What happens when your nemesis dies? What's going to happen?
Well,
to Hank. I mean, to Walt.
Walt is at no shortage of nemeses.
Well, do you think Jack? I mean, he's obviously going to rumble
Todd,
with
Jack, Todd, Jesse.
Them. Oh yeah. Jesse isn't a nemesis.
The government.
Those are people. The government.
How about the government? That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, you're right. Live free or die, though. That's all I'm saying. Just got to live free or die. That motto rings true here.
Yeah, because we're still several months away from that episode. So there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens.
But do you think they'll just gloss over it like they did in this entire episode, that we just won't see it?
Well, does he just go into hiding for a certain amount of time and then comes back and then the stuff starts up again? I mean, that's why the penultimate episode is usually like the big one, because they got to save the denouement for the last one. Like, this is how everything wraps up.
Yeah.
You know, but
I don't think that's going to be this way, though. I think it's going to wrap up on the end. It's just going to be like all the stuff happens and because it's not going to wrap up well for anyone. Maybe Jesse.
It's got to wrap up well for
maybe
at least
Saul.
One person.
Maybe Saul.
Well, Saul,
because
yeah. No, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel, you're right.
Saul's probably going to get it.
Saul might get it. Yeah, it's very possible. Because I think you're right. I think he probably
Skyler?
Is going to be fighting. I think he's going to be fighting with the Uncle Jack and the neo-Nazi Boy Scouts over there. And I think that you're right. I think Saul's probably going to might get caught up in the crossfire of all this. Hope Lydia gets it, too, for some reason.
Yeah, Lydia, man.
Just kind of don't like her.
She's cold. She's cold as ice.
So, like, what... I mean... That's the episode. I don't even want to predict much more than that because it's just pointless at this point. Now, other notes, Breaking Bad, just quickly. The Saul show, thumbs up or thumbs down without too much.
I love Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Vince Gilligan knows how to steer a series, obviously. So I will give them a few episodes to see what kind – is it going to be dark? If it's dark, it'll be okay. If it's going to be just straight slapstick –
I think it's definitely going to be – I think it's going to be darker tinged. I think it kind of has to be.
Is it going to have the Breaking Bad intensity where this guy like has a soul
probably
and
not.
He gets caught up in something? Is Mike Ehrmantraut going to be in it?
He might be. That's the fun thing. If it's a prequel and you know that him and Mike have history, stuff like that we might get. We might even see like a little other people in over there in Albuquerque that we might have already gotten to know.
I mean, if it's a straight flashback series – then I will remain optimistic because think of all the great flashbacks from Breaking Bad, like Gus and his brother going to the cartel. They're just the way they shoot him, like the fuzzy lens with the uncle and the two assassins dunking his head in the pool.
Yeah.
The chicken man conversation. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to say.
That's actually that's the most optimistic I've heard. My initial reaction was no, I hope this doesn't, I don't want this to happen. But you're right. I think that.
Yeah, how are you going to make a show work about a lawyer called Better Call Saul? But especially since
it worked
we all
the first time
how...
I ever saw that. another thing we saw today, a fan is suing Apple, is leading a class action suit over charging separately for the second half of the season, even though it's technically one season. Like for the season pass on iTunes, it's like $15 or something per season. Charging people an extra $15 for this season because it's being listed as the last season or the final season. Yeah, that's just really a fun fact there. I mean, because we thought that too. Like we thought to ourselves, why are they separating this? But I think it's clear that AMC is doing it to prolong the inevitable that Breaking Bad's going to be gone. Because they got like nothing else besides they got Mad Men and Walking Dead, which also got announced today. There's going to be two Walking Dead shows. One's going to be following other survivors.
Well, this makes me angry for several reasons. First of all, there is no constitutional right to be able to see a show. If you don't
see
a show,
they advertise that the season pass is $14.99, and they are charging them. It's the fifth season. There's only 8 episodes.
Yeah, but what defines a season? There was a big
break.
They're
calling it season 5, part 1 and 2.
Okay, well, that's just semantics. If you're numbering a season 5-1 or 5, that could just be the next season.
That's true. Well, that's probably what it's
And you're talking about $15. You're going to sue a company over $15?
Well, maybe I've gotten really mad before where I've done some stupid things.
I want
to
know the language.
Illogical.
I want to know the language of the contract. See, this is why I would have been a lawyer.
You should,
if delivering mail
Jeff,
wasn't
you
so
could
fun.
Know the language of the contract because you could just go and sign up for the season pass and then read the terms and regulations.
Have you ever actually read the terms?
I haven't, but... Which is funny,
I always click the
there's
box.
A whole nother South Park episode about that where it gets Kyle ends up having to be in a human centipede situation because he didn't read the terms. That show is great. One last thing, the Fallon, Jimmy Fallon Breaking Bad parody, Joking Bad. Did you see it? I sent it to you.
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty funny. The Jesse guy was his
it's an announcer.
Announcer, yeah.
Everything was bitch. About, literally after everything though.
Selling jokes. I mean,
I liked it. I thought it was pretty perfect for someone who likes the series and then like has seen enough episodes of Fallon. I don't watch them regularly, but I've seen enough where it's like I got all the little jokes. The roots were funny, too.
Yeah.
But so why is it so smoky in here? Incense.
Incense.
All right, so that's Breaking Bad. Now, next week, we have a whole new episode. As we said, it's called Granite State. It's going to probably make us shit our pants. And
what is the Granite State?
It's New Hampshire. But that's where he's been with the license.
Right.
Car, the gun.
Is that the Live Free or Die State?
That is the Live Free or Die State. That's why I said it before.
It's weird that they have both a slogan and a state name. Is their state bird the Live Free or Die Bird?
No. I'm assuming it's an eagle. Because when Live Free or Die is your motto, you're just like going all out. It's like we're fucking, we have eagles shitting out like constitutional rights.
You know what? I bet most people in New Hampshire, if you enslaved them, they probably would just be slaves. They wouldn't just take death. That's a total bullshit state right there.
Another experiment for us.
We're gonna do both of these experiments before the year is out.
Before the year is out, we got time. We got time. All right. So the Emmys are happening, and Breaking Bad is obviously, as we mentioned, especially I think in the preview episode a lot. Breaking Bad is nominated for a bunch.
Best now, drama series. I mean, they're going up against a tough slew here.
It is really tough. Actually, I haven't seen a ton of everything. I've seen Game of Thrones, which I don't even know. I like Game of Thrones, but I don't even know why that's nominated with these other shows. Because Homeland, the second season of Homeland was like 1,000 times better than Game of Thrones any day of the week. I'd say that season of Mad Men that's nominated could win also, because it was pretty, as I said last week, it was pretty intense.
Yes, but Downton Abbey is nominated.
That's true. And House of Cards. See, that's
why the thing about this year. Bother showing
all
up?
The Netflix shows are nominated this year, which is a big deal, because it's changing the way things are happening. So who do you think will win? Do you think Breaking Bad can win?
Yes.
All right. I mean, we also, they're nominated in several other categories, too.
This is like a Lord of the Rings situation where when they came out with the third movie, that's when they swept all the categories, even though they just made the same movie three times in a row. And Breaking Bad has won a lot of Emmys, but this year they're going to clean up. Actually, this will be, so is this season five part one? Or yes. Is this season four?
No, this is season five part one. So I guess that answers that, huh? These bastards. Why couldn't they just call it season 5 and 6? It's just stupid. Or just call it... Or
look,
just show it,
I agree with the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, but you don't need to sue.
I understand that.
You can just
it's still
say,
annoying.
You can just write a letter.
It is still annoying because they're also it's changing the Emmy thing too. You know what I mean? It's like it's for the same season. They could get nominated next year.
You were awarded $15 for season 2, and the lawyer costs will be $3,000.
Now, Jeff, have you seen any of the other people that are up for nominations in the lead actor? You haven't seen Downton Abbey because it's on your queue. House of Cards, Kevin Spacey?
Negative.
Homeland?
I've seen Jeff Daniels in the newsroom.
You've seen that? You haven't seen... Yeah, that's a really tough character. Bryan Cranston should win it, but that guy Damian Lewis on Homeland is... The show is so intense because it's a man who's been I can't give anything away.
I've seen a lot of it.
Yeah,
I know.
I don't want to give any away to anyone on here, but it's just like
Jeff Daniels though is the man in the newsroom.
I don't think he would get it, not over Ham, Lewis or Cranston. And I mean I guess the guy from Downton Abbey is good because I haven't seen it. And he's British. Now Anna Gunn's also up for a supporting actress. I mean that's a little bit more open. She has a chance, but I don't think she will. Although that's really open. You really have got an old lady from Downton Abbey. So there's a sleeper.
Maggie Smith.
But
she
also,
was in Harry Potter.
The Brody wife on Homeland, played by Morena Baccarin. She's.
Right, I'm going to say no.
Now, they have
the
to Khaleesi win.
Khaleesi will not win.
They have to win supporting actor, though, right?
I'm sorry you lost the Emmy, Khaleesi.
See, even that is tough. Supporting actor is Bobby Cannavale from Boardwalk Empire as Chip Rossetti, Aaron Paul, Jonathan Banks as Mike Ehrmantraut, Jim Carter from Downton Abbey, Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, and Mandy Patinkin from Homeland. Okay, you would say that they've got a really good chance of winning there because Jesse's been was pretty good last season. But you saw Boardwalk Empire, right? You saw last season?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Cannavale was amazing. He was a legitimate psycho. Like I bought him at he sold that character perfectly.
Yes,
but can he be Aaron Paul?
Aaron Paul is I haven't even looked at the odds, which I usually do. I'm gonna say he's like a 2-5 favorite.
Because
there are at least 4 or 5 episodes where you can take a scene and be like, oh, that's the Emmy scene. And if he's already won a couple, he's already won 2. For scenes that I think his character has just gotten deeper as it's going on. He's a lock. Mark it down. Aaron Paul.
All right, I am marking it down, actually.
I'm going to go for the Aaron Paul, Brian Cranston sweep, and a gun getting edged out.
And them taking drama?
By the girl from Mad Men.
I hope they take
no
drama.
Idea who that is.
I think they'll take the writing categories, too. They have two entered, and they were both really good episodes. One of them being this Remember My Name one. And then the other one being the train heist. So I think they could do that. Same thing with directing. We don't really need to get into the comedy, really. I mean, that's not – I watch
just
a lot
one
of comedies.
Question, just one question. Will Jim Parsons be stopped?
I hope he is because I hate Jim Parsons. Again, it's not because I hate the handicapped. He is on the autism spectrum.
Second question. How is Matt LeBlanc?
Don't even get me started. You had to bring us down this road. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter because if – well, I say that, but who won last year? Do you remember who won last year?
No.
John Cryer for 2 and a Half Men.
For Best Actor?
Yes.
Or was it Supporting Actor?
I thought it was Actor.
We'll have to check on that.
I remember it was either that or I'm pretty sure it was him because he beat out Louis, and that's the part that blew my mind.
How is Ty Burrell a supporting actor?
Everyone on the show is supporting actors because it's a completely ensemble cast, and that is why that show is amazing. It's gonna Modern Family will end up winning.
So you've got three guys taking votes away from each other.
Yeah, but they almost always win. Either Ty Burrell or. I think Ty Burrell won last year. And that, who cares about all the rest
when
of the
will this Emmy show allegedly take place?
It is happening next Sunday night, acting opposite.
We should have like a live broadcast or
it's
something.
It's coming on opposite of Breaking Bad, so I can't watch it.
That's a big mistake.
It's a big mistake. I'm glad the Emmys are around, Jeff, okay? This time of year is really good, and TV with the rest of TV starting up, because... sometimes it gets you need to the summer's long and they now have some good shows on during the summer. You know, TV's gotten structured better where they're spacing out their good material throughout the year and having shorter seasons too.
Yeah, the days of the November and May sweeps are over.
Those are over, and like, you know, like forcing series to do 22 episodes, you know, for dramas. That's done. You're not going to, you know, well, it's there still, but I mean, those aren't the ones everybody's talking about, you know.
Right.
Like everybody's talking about the big ones on HBO.
If you can
or
make 16
Men.
Quality shows,
yeah.
That's much better than making 22 crap episodes of CSI.
Exactly. I'm glad you said CSI because I hate that show, and I get angry when I see it. When people talk about it's good, I'm like, okay, it's a procedural cop show.
What about it is good?
Oh, because now they're doing crime scene investigation. Okay, cool. So now we're going to have a whole genre where all the procedural cop shows are just going to be crime scene investigation shows.
Figure it out based on the evidence.
The science. I guess we shouldn't be insulting that because we're. But my thing is that it gets really frustrating, you know, and I love TV. You know, like, you know that about me. I've watched a lot of TV. I love it. And I don't get to watch it as much as I used to between, like, work, writing on Place to Be Nation,
yeah, who has time
jerking
to watch
off
TV?
And all that, you know. Like, who's got the time? Exactly. Yeah, you feel me, obviously. You get what I'm saying? But anyway, I love it. I love it. It's like an old friend. It's been there for as long as I can remember. And... you know, for the thick and thin, good times and bad, it's like, you know, a lot of crap went down in my life and I could always, like, watch Seinfeld. You know, I always had those things. Even when I didn't have cable, it's like, you know, like in syndication.
You could always get the grainy picture of Buffy on Channel 38.
Yes, exactly. Oh, they're never on 38, though, around here, buddy. Because what you're referring to was a different
the WB?
No, but we had our own WB affiliate.
I thought I remember it was 38.
It was 28.
Whatever.
Okay. Either way.
People listening in England aren't going to know what the WB is. Okay.
It's true. No, they know what they know, but they know what Buffy is and that it ran on the WB because that is document of fact. But anyway, see, it makes me sad when I see, like, bad things happening to my friends. Like, I consider TV, like, an age-old chum.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's been bad things happening, though, on TV. And it's you start to get mad, though, because it's like you start seeing the signs. You don't realize that you were seeing the signs until it's gotten to a point where you're essentially like
You can let things
seeing
go.
Seeing the track marks, yeah, exactly. You know, on the arms, and then you're like, oh, yeah, this all makes sense now. Missing work, you know, like hitting me up for money, having me watch your kid all the time. Like, you know, like this is what you've been doing, you know, and it's like.
Shows behave much like the degenerate friend.
Yeah, exactly. But on TV, it's like more than that. It's like the toddlers and tiaras. It's the Honey Boo Boos. Okay, it's the Gold Rush. You know, you ever see that show? You watch Discovery, so you must have at least seen commercials for Gold Rush where Jack.
No, I've seen some Gold
Hoff,
Rush. I've
Jack
seen,
Hoff.
I've seen some Gold Rush. Jack Hoff.
Jack Hoff.
Jack Hoff is
and a bunch of guys search for the fucking glory hole. It was made for. It was only made for parody, I swear. But you see that
definitely
shit.
Definitely no way anyone's actually bankrolling that endeavor to find gold.
Yes, exactly. It's just being there so we could see people arguing about like doing. Working with big machinery. That's all we see. So instead what we get, all that happens, and it's kind of like it's separate incidences, all these little things, the hills and everything like that. But then that moment, there's that moment when you see there are two goddamn shows about people with metal detectors searching for treasure. I'm making air quotes now.
He's air quoting.
They're digging for treasure in the dirt. Okay, what we have going on in television is two of those shows.
When one you go them, to the beach and you're bored, what you do is you
no,
take
these
a
guys are, no, what these guys do is they go to, like, fields where they're, like, they know that big things have happened or people have lived there, you know, like.
When I was at Gettysburg, I really tried to find a bullet shell. I couldn't find one.
It's like that, except it's a show about it. This is worse than finding Bigfoot or whatever. Because at least that was funny. Well, that's the other problem with these shows. I've actually...
There's a Squatch in these woods.
One of them's called Dig Wars, okay? And the other one is called American Digger, because that's how we sell shows now. American Picker. American Restoration. Fucking American Digger.
American-Americans.
The American-Americans. The Americans. Which that was actually not nominated for any Emmys, but...
So between Dig Wars and American Digger, which one is the Friends with Benefits?
It doesn't matter!
Which one is the...
I guess we're making the same point as we were... you know, I guess let's just throw it all in there, okay?
Which one is The Chase
Those
of Liberty,
movies,
which one is The First Order?
And this, and these two movies, because this happens in TV too, what we were talking about earlier, it's just making too much crap. We don't need either one of the shows. Never mind two. Like, there's no... Why wouldn't a network go, oh, wow, they got a show like that? Oh, that looks sucky. Like, what? How many viewers are they actually getting?
They're getting enough to justify making a show.
See, these are the things that just make me so sad, because then it starts getting into it like, well, I thought it was television, but really, it's society.
Josh, I find it offensive that you are condemning these shows.
American Digger?
Just because people like them, you're being like somebody
I'm condemning
that,
them because they're stupid
like,
shows.
When somebody says, hey, you should watch Kill Bill, and then you just refuse to do it because you don't like the director.
No. See, what that would be, no. If someone did that and they didn't like the director, I'd understand. But if they liked the director and they just wouldn't watch it just because they just, for some reason, didn't watch the show, even though they've seen, like, everything else by the director and thought it was awesome, I would say, okay, that person's being unreasonable. I'm saying I've seen these shows and they are horrible.
So if you've seen them, then they're justified in making them. Because if you've seen them, then
no, I saw them because I saw them on The Soup and I went, this can't be real. I went, this can't be real.
Well, if they're making The Soup, then that's also good advertising.
No, I meant like, this has to be fake. Like, these have to be actors.
Like, they're all actors. All these reality shows. Duck Dynasty, they're all scripted, but it's hilarious. I love Duck Dynasty. I'll watch Duck Dynasty all day.
Duck Dynasty, I don't... Guys, this is the last episode of Richer and the Mailman. next week, I'll be replaced probably with...
stay tuned next week when you're
trying to
be
Richer. Drooling a lot. There might be poop in his pants. I don't know, but you'll have to ask Jeff because it's going to be drooly poop pants in the mailman.
It's all right because Richer is a socialist, yet he's an elitist. So.
All socialists are elitists.
That doesn't make any sense. Socialists are trying to help the poor people.
No, because we think that we know what's better for everyone. That's why socialists suck.
That's why
nobody likes socialists.
I know what's better, and what's better is more Duck Dynasty. More Uncle Si.
Well, Jeff, that was Richard's rant. I think I'm going to call it that. Are we okay with that?
Richard's rant. Could he be wrong? Most likely.
I like alliteration. I don't know.
Stay tuned next week when I tell you whether or not his rant was wrong.
Jeff, I don't know if we have time for you got a mailman tip of the week?
Mailman tip of the week. If you have a storm door, leave it unlocked. If you don't want your parcels left in the front of your house, leave a note on the door. Help us help you deliver your parcels, okay? We don't want to take them back. We don't want to write up notices. Just tell us. Do we leave them in the backyard? Are you working all day? I work all day, okay? I don't want them taking my parcels back. I want them to leave in the backyard, put them under the deck somewhere, hide them under the garbage can for all I care. But just let us know. Because we leave them, and then you call and complain that we left them and they got stolen. We take them back. You say, I'm at work. I want you to leave them. Just help us deliver your packages effectively. Go do yourself a favor. Go on Amazon.com right now. Order Breaking Bad. And then tell your mailman where to leave the DVD set. And watch it right away so you can listen to these podcasts and not be behind. Because you know what? You're going to find something online. You're going to hear something. It's going to be spoiled for you. And you're never going to forgive yourself as long as you live. That was the postal tip of the week. And just take it to heart.
That one was good. That's an important one, actually. But I like you saying parcels multiple times because it really gives me an insight into your day.
It's a shorter word than packages. I don't know why people say packages. It's like a whole... You know, it's like carts and carriages.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's all we got. The postal tip of the week finishes us off here. That's essentially the money shot of the episode. So I think we need to say goodbye.
There's nothing more we can help you with.
Now, if you want to follow us on Twitter or at least go over and yell at us on Twitter, you don't have to follow us to do that. You can do that. The mailman here, Jeff, is at Machadouche. That's MachadouCHE. And I am at Joshua Richer. And that's, you probably have seen the name. If you've...
Yeah, check out placetobenation.com. I believe they also have a Twitter, at placetobenation.
It's at... Ooh, PTB. That one's tough because it's at place to the number...
Place the number two nation.
Tobenation.com.
Tobenation.
Oh, I feel like if we don't get that right, we are the worst.
Okay, I'll vamp while you look that up. So, the Steelers are not looking so good this year. It's like they're losing to the Bengals, but the Bengals are wearing black on black. I'm a big black.
That is a problem. My cookie for Twitter has been deleted. So it just follow us, and then you can find Place to Be Nation.
My cookie for Twitter.
Technology problem.
Two episodes left of Breaking Bad, folks. It's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be crazy. We'll be back here next week talking about. That probably talking about what happened on the Emmys. Hopefully Miley comes out again. We can only hope. So just
search your DVR in Mila Kunis, flag anything, record it, watch it.
And definitely tweet us about that. Or you can also email me at least at the website. That's joshr@placetobenation.com. So I'm Josh Richer and he's the mailman Jeff Machado, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
You guys are great. Everything will fall apart.